and welcome to Corporate Quitter. So today's guest, we have Rebecca Joy. She's an empowerment coach and speaker based in Austin, Texas, where I am too, which is where we found each other, was at an event in Soho House here in Austin. She's a creator of the Mind Body Joy Method, a coaching program that merges personal development, spirituality, subconscious rewiring, holistic health, manifestation, and human design all in one big bundle. During a difficult period in a previous entrepreneurial venture, Rebecca stumbled upon human design and it profoundly altered her life's trajectory. As she incorporated a system into her everyday life, she discovered a newfound sense of harmony, effortless flow, unconditional self-love, and profound insight into her purpose. And now she's helping others do the same. And as someone who attended her class at Soho House that was specifically around human design, and as a human design obsessed lover of all things human design, like, I just... I'm so grateful you're here on the show to talk about these things and obviously manifestation and all these other goodies that come with it. But there's so many nuggets that I wish I had learned from human design when I first started in business that I didn't know about. So thank you so much for coming on, because I know the entrepreneurial girlies out there and all these people who are listening who are wanting to expand in their life will really benefit from learning from you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. It's such an honor. It's such a privilege to one, be here doing what I'm doing. Man, it feels like this has been such a long time coming, but to also share the incredible gift that is human design. I know that you have used it yourself. It truly is the most remarkable self-understanding, self-awareness tool. And if you are an entrepreneur, if you are a business owner, if you're just like, I got to shake some shit up in my life, this is a tool for you. So
yeah,
I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, good. I know. It took us a couple times to finally get us aligned and all that stuff. But, you know, the cosmos and the energy of the world be doing its thing where we were supposed to meet at this specific time. And it just so happens, funny, this whole setup that I have right now, like, just came together within the past 24 hours. So it was like, it was meant to be. Like, it needed to be delayed for this reason. So it worked out great. 100%. But it's so funny also because last night I was just talking to my boyfriend about human design and he had heard about it. But, like, you know how guys are like, you know, I don't, whatever. I mean, he's really open to everything, but, like, now that I told him about it, he's like, oh, that makes so much sense. I'm like, yes, this is supposed to be a tool. This doesn't mean it dictates every move you make, but, like, it's like the equivalent. I think it's better than, like, the DISC assessments and all the things I did in my corporate job. But
totally.
How did you get into teaching human design and, like, all these other things that are layered within it, right? Manifestation and just, like, holistic wellness, right? Because I think human design falls within the wellness category. So, like, how did you go from working a job to, like, how did you become a human design person?
So what I'm doing now has been a long time coming. I was actually voice noting one of my best friends last night who's been here along this 10-year journey. It literally has been 10 years of self-discovery and personal development and me just experimenting and putting my hands into so many different things. And human design was something that came into my life a few years ago when I was attempting to sell on Amazon. I went into,
like,
it with
FBA?
Yeah, Amazon FBA. I was totally in it, thought that I was going to be raking in the cash, making $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a month. And I went into it with such pure-hearted intentions. I thought, okay, if I set up this passive income stream, I will have so much time and energy to focus on what I really want to do, which is to help people and serve people. And I always had this knowing that I was meant to be a source of empowerment, a source of motivation and inspiration for people. But I found myself over this very long trajectory of awakening, personal development, dark night of the soul, like a nights of the soul.
Like, it never ends. You're like, oh, God. Like, why? And then you find out, it's because it's part of your human design. You're like, damn it.
Totally. And so I was on this journey throughout my 20s of doing so many things, but I found that I would naturally seek out these people to help me make sense of what was happening. So I first got into astrology and then energy work and Reiki and all these things. But I found myself to become very triggered at what I would see online. The manifestation coaches telling me to do exactly this and you're going to manifest your dream partner, your dream house. And I would do these things and a lot of times they wouldn't work. And then I would start to feel shame and feel guilt. And if we look at, I don't know what it's called, Maslow's hierarchy or something of, like, the range of emotions, shame is the worst emotion that you could feel. And I would feel so much shame because I was trying all these things, systems, tools, techniques, and I wasn't getting what I actually wanted. So I came across human design. I was on a walk throughout Lady Bird Lake in the midst of my Amazon journey, and I came across this podcast episode with Jenna Zoe, who's one of my OG mentors in the space, and I just felt like, whoa, I got to learn more about this. So I looked it up, did a little deep dive on myself, which I never recommend anyone doing. Just like, please come see me for a session. And I did not like what I read about myself, and I stopped myself, thank God. And I went and got a reading done. And within an hour, I had truly the most out of body, but in body experience. I can't even really explain what it felt like. It just was like someone was giving me the permission and the affirmation and the recognition that I've always seen and felt within myself, but they were able to put it into context and tangibly tell me all of these things that I've felt throughout the entire span of my, not just 20s, my entire life. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, this is some really cool shit. And so naturally, being a 6'2 in human design, still in my 3 phase right now, I'm like, okay, I think that I want to learn about this system. And that was really the missing puzzle piece for me to create this coaching program. Because again, I've always known every single job that I took, every single passion, hobby, there was always this element, this underlying energy of coaching other people or becoming basically a glorified therapist. But this was the thing. This was a specific, tangible missing puzzle piece that I knew that I needed to create what is now the Mind Body Joy Method.
Yeah. And it's so cool too how the human design system like gives you, I don't want to say permission, but yes, it does give you permission to operate in the way that intuitively you've been feeling called to operate. So for example, like I'm a man, Jen, I think my design is 4-6. That's the profile. Like there are all these different things that lead to like, oh, okay. Like you're supposed to like wait for the feeling of the energy to come and then you run with it and you expand on it. Okay, mm-hmm. Cool. My routines are not supposed to be like, I'm supposed to have different routines. Every day is supposed to be different. Like you're supposed to learn the lessons and go through so many trial and errors so that you can be the wise old elder to teach people. I'm like, okay, cool. Now I feel a little bit more validated. And there's like so many more things even within the human design system that just blew my mind. But right, like I said, validates your feeling of like, oh, okay, it's not just like society that's like, I can't fit totally into that box, but like, here's another string of like bigger boxes that I can maybe like sort of fit in or like dance within if I need some sort of routine or structure. Again, loosely speaking. But so what is the human design system and like, how can someone find theirs out?
So why I love it so much is it is so different from your typical personality test, the Enneagram, the Myers-Briggs. All that you need is your birth date, exact birth time, and birthplace. There are so many different websites where you can go and look up your chart for free. I personally like myhumandesign.com and Jovian Archive. I like Human Design. I like My Human Design more because it's more aesthetically pleasing and easier for me to interpret. But the Human Design system in and itself is only like 36, 37 years old. It was channeled by a man named Robert Krakauer, who renamed himself to Ra Uruhu. He's a manifester in human design, which if you know anything about human design, he is such a manifester. Manifestors are the visionaries. They're here to initiate and bring something new to the world. So he channeled this human design system synthesis in Ibiza, just again, about 36, 37 years ago. And then he created the human design system itself, I think a year later. So that's what a lot of people don't understand. This is a fairly new system. It's not like astrology that's been around for ages and ages. And still, most people only know their sun sign, maybe their moon sign and their rising sign, but astrology is like really, really complex.
So complex. Oh my God.
It's wild. I mean, I, for the first time, had my astrological chart read last year, and I had no idea about the house placements and like,
oh yeah,
what a stellium is and the north node, the south node, and all these things. So the human design system in and itself is made up of 5 different systems: Eastern and Western astrology, the Judaic Kabbalah, genetic code, chakra system, and the Chinese book of changes, which is called the I Ching. I don't know how he combined all of these beautiful modalities together, but he did, and we now have the human design system. And what a lot of clients ask me is, well, let's say I were to look up my chart 10 years ago, or is my chart going to change in 2 years? And I tell them no. Very different from astrology in the sense of you've got your astrological chart, but as we know, the planets, the moon, everything's shifting daily. Yep. So different aspects of your life, different themes, different patterns, different energies and archetypes are going to be highlighted based on what you need to heal through, work through the whole thing. But your astrological chart in and itself never changes. Same thing with the human design. There's different gifts that are always being highlighted in the chart that's a little more complex. But yeah, you always have the same chart. It never changes. And that's why I love it, because you're not going in answering questions about yourself today when you're in a high, getting one type of answer, and then answering other questions the next day or next week in a totally different mood.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of like even the 5 love languages, which is like a super simple test. My love languages changes like all the time. Like
totally, same.
At the top, which is like, that's normal. It's expected as we change. But even like the Enneagram and stuff like that, my DISC profile, I think I've taken a bazillion times with different corporate employers, and they all kind of spit out similar but different, which is so interesting, like percentage-wise. Right. But so for the human design system, what are the 5 types that you can basically be charted into?
I like to explain human design as you got to know your big 3, just like with astrology, sun, moon, and rising. You have to know your energy type, you have to know your profile, and you have to know your authority. So the 5 energy types, we start off with the generator, which most people fall under this category. Right now, there's about 36% of people that are generators. And then we have a subset, which is the man gen, which is both you and I. Mm-hmm. You are predominantly generator, but have very strong manifestor tendencies. And then we have the projector, which is about 20% of people. And then we've got the manifestor and then the reflector. Reflectors are only about 1%. Manifestors sit right now around 9% of people.
What are the differences between all of them?
We're looking at how do you use your energy in everyday life. Generators, we call them the builders, the creators. They are so good at getting shit done. They're so good at working. They're so creative. These are the people who actually can survive in the 9-to-5 if they're doing something that they love, just because they have the biggest energetic capacity. Even though I will say most generators that I come across are entrepreneurs or business owners, because they're so creative and they just don't want to fit into the mold of society and work the 9-to-5 job. But
yeah,
they are here to really lift the energy of the world. So I say for generators, your number one purpose is to follow your joy. Follow the things that light you up. And then we have the manifesting generators, which are very similar to the generators, but take everything that I said about the generator and then multiply it times 5. So we're supposed to be really pouring our energy into so many different places and people and opportunities. I have learned for myself in business, when I'm solely focusing on one thing, I'm actually draining myself of my energy.
Yes.
When I have 5 or 6 different things going, I'm so lit up.
Yeah. And it's in society, you're demonized for doing a lot of different things. But like it truly, when I have a bazillion things going on, or I like put a project on the shelf to pick up later and then swap it with something else. And then like, I'm just like, okay, cool. Like I have enough energy and creative capacity to do all those things. And it's funny, when I don't have things going on, I actually get extremely tired and end up like laying around. Like
totally.
I do better when I have more going on.
Yeah, I say to my man Jens, more is actually more, which most of the spiritual people say the opposite, but that's not true for man Jens. Like, I have to be doing more. When I have 5 or 6 different projects going on, I feel so lit up. I feel so excited about life. And we have to remember that man Jens have the largest energetic capacity to constantly be shape-shifting and changing and taking on more. So we are actually the people that can have 8 pots on the stove. And that works for us. So that's the man gen. Then I will bop over to the manifester. The manifester is the person who's here to get things started. I call them the fire starters. They're the visionaries. They're here to initiate. They're here to inform. They're here to come up with those brilliant ideas, but they're the starters. They're not the finishers. So what's really cool about the man gen is we're both the starter and the finisher. We're both that manifestor energy of, I'm going to go and get this thing started, but I can also finish it if this is really lighting me up. So that's how those two energies kind of fuse together. Manifestors kind of like to do their own thing. They do not like to be told what to do. I always have this running joke with my girlfriends. I'm like, the problem with dating is all of these women are waiting around for the men to initiate, but the problem is they're mostly generators. Like, like, really? Yeah, mostly our population is made up of generators and man-gens. And the generators, we're here to respond to life. So we have to wait until something is brought across our path. And if we feel this pull towards it, we're going to run towards it and give all of our energy and life force energy to it. But unfortunately, not everyone is an initiator. So those are the manifestors. Then we have the projectors. Projectors are one of the non-energy beings, so they do not have their sacral defined. What that means is they don't have this constant connection to always be creating. So they really feed off of the energy of other people. They move a little bit slower. And for them, kind of their motto is move smarter, not harder. These are the people that love systems. They love to plan. They love management. I also really like to think of them as really great supporters. Supporters for the star. Supporters for the ones that are holding that really, really big vision. They like to move kind of behind the scenes with things. And they are here as the guides. They're here to help us really channel our energy and focus our energy. Like, we can just be all over the place with where we're going and where we want to pour our energy into. So they really help us navigate and create this track for us. And then we have the reflectors, which are only about 1-2% of the population. So if we're looking at the human design chart, what dictates what type of energy type you are, we're looking at what centers we have lit up versus what centers that we have open. So reflectors are wide open. Like, every single one of the 9 centers is in white. So they are basically the ultimate chameleon. They're literally a reflector of everyone else. They are walking mirrors. They will show you exactly what you need to see within yourself, what you need to heal, what you need to grow from, progress into. These are people who are so adaptable because they're constantly shape-shifting. So they need a lot of time. You need to give reflectors a lot of space, a lot of time to navigate what decisions they're making, communicating with them, give them a little bit more time to get back to you. But they really are here to tell us the temperature of what's happening because they're major, major empaths.
My friend Asya is a reflector, and it's so funny because once we figured that out at the Soho House event, I was like, oh my God, that makes complete sense, because she's been changing quite a bit, and it's just so funny to see my own self changing and it being reflect. Anyway, it's interesting how that happens. And now that I know certain people in my world, what their design type is, I'm like, oh, that makes complete sense. Like, another person that I talk to a lot is a projector. And I'm
totally
like, okay, I see this, you know, all of us now. But I'm wondering of the, like, one of the things you mentioned before is, like, for example, you're like, okay, the generators are the ones who create the ideas and run with it. And then the manifestors are the ones who create, but they don't execute, or they don't finish. They start, but they don't finish, or whatever. So how does that play out in entrepreneurship and things like that? Because are there people who have the entrepreneurial bug, but maybe don't have the human design, quote unquote, tools to do that? Or is it not aligned? Like, I'm just curious about that.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like when people ask me, when they're looking for a partner, they're like, well, which type am I the most compatible with? And I'm like, here's the thing, people. You can be compatible with anyone. Anyone can be an entrepreneur. Anyone can be a successful business owner. Why human design is so powerful is that it teaches us to double down on our strengths and outsource our weaknesses. So, like, I can pull up your chart and I can show you exactly where you are incredibly talented and gifted and skillful in. And I can show you this may be a natural weakness. Now, someone like a David Goggins is going to tell you, screw that and get better at your weaknesses. I actually don't necessarily agree with that. If I want to move smarter, not harder in this world, I'm going to double down on the things that I'm really, really good at. For me, I'm a man-gen. I know that I'm here to be the creator. I know that I'm here to be the star. For me, it's a goal to have, at some point, a management team. I want a publicist. I want a manager. I want a glam team. I want an operations person. I want everything to be set, and I just show up.
Do your craft.
And I do my craft, because I know that that's what I'm here to do. So when you know that, you can leverage your own energy and you can leverage the energy of everyone else. So I think that we met at my networking event. Was that correct? Yeah. Yep. So, like, the point of that was, okay, let's say that you're a man, Jen. Maybe you just naturally connect with a projector because that's what you're seeking. Maybe you connect with a reflector. Like, imagine just a team with one of every energy type and how powerful it would be, because you're all shining where you're naturally strong, and then you're able to fill in each other's gaps.
So for, let's say, the creatives and business people out there who aren't ready yet for the team, or maybe they're just starting, because a lot of the people who listen to the show, they're either still in their corporate jobs trying to leave, or they've just now left and they're trying to figure out, okay, like, what am I doing with business? How am I starting? You know, whatever. They're kind of in your early phases as well, right? Maybe they're trying the Amazon FBA, or like whatever the things that they're trying. How can someone best leverage their human design in pursuing these endeavors? Like, are there specific aspects of the chart they should look at or highlight to help call them towards certain things or say no to others? Like, anything around that you can provide?
Totally. So when I'm in an introductory human design chart reading with someone, I always go over your energy type. That's like the first way entry type. That's the biggest deal that we want to be talking about. But then I'm also talking about your profile, which is your personality. We've got two sides to your personality. One side that you see, one side that everyone else sees. So like you being a 4-6, you see yourself as the natural networker. Really for you, every single connection that you make is through someone else. So I like to give 4s this visual of the spider in the middle, and then you're really good at creating and cultivating your own web. But then you've got the 6 on the outside, so people see you as this natural role model. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting to utilize both aspects of the profile. And then we have something called your authority. Your authority shows us how you best make decisions. Whereas most people have been conditioned to use their logical monkey brain, which is so dumb. It's like, I will tell you, if you are a sacral being, you have to follow your gut. Or maybe you're an emotional. I'm an emotional.
Mine's emotional. We are so similar on our charts. But yeah, mine's emotional. So I'm like, okay, cool. Like, that checks out. Like, for years, I was not following my emotions because that's what society told me. And not that I was making bad decisions, but they weren't the best decisions for me. And since I've then learned human design and now wait to feel that emotion and then make the decision, like, the decision I'm making, you're 10 times better, honestly.
Totally. And for emotionals, we're constantly riding this wave of we're high, we're low, we're kind of all over the place. We need to let the dust settle until we get to this middle ground. I call it the equilibrium state. Then we can go ahead and make a decision. I find for me, I know that something is right for me when it sparks some type of happy emotion. I'll just start crying out of nowhere. I'll be in a walk and I'll start to visualize like myself on this stage or doing that. So energy type, profile, and authority. Then this is where it gets super fun and super niche. We get to look at all of your different gifts in the chart. So where you may be a natural leader, someone may be really, really good at like the finite details in business. So human design is so critical for entrepreneurs because it literally helps you optimize your own energy. That's it. Why would you not want to move smarter? Like, I don't know why every single entrepreneur doesn't know their human design, because it could save you so much time and so much of your own energy.
I think it's because of the whole woo-woo astrology isn't real thing. And like, it has to do with kind of, they're not the same, but it does pull from the same, like birth chart, whatever thing. So, I mean, I'm sure you get probably not, how would you say? I'm sure you get people who are like, no, that's BS. That's not a thing. Like, which is fine. Again, to each their own, right? Choose your data points and run with them. But it's some people just, you know, it's not their cup of tea.
Yeah. And I think it all goes back to what do you value? But I am finding that there has been this exponential rise with people, especially people in STEM who have come to me. I've worked with a handful of surgeons in the past few months. These are people who are already making a lot of money and they know that they're gifted. And they know that they're really talented and they've worked really, really hard. But there's still something in them that they're like, how can I do this better? How can I be more efficient? How can I be more effective? And I know that I'm constantly referring back to my human design, especially as an entrepreneur, because I want to, again, be doubling down on the things that I'm really, really good at and getting the help and support elsewhere. And kind of tying back to the question that you first asked about, okay, you're an aspiring entrepreneur. You don't really know where to go, how to navigate this. First, get your human design chart read so you know for a fact what you should be pouring at least 80% of your energy into, okay? In the beginning, sorry to say this, but as an entrepreneur, you're going to be doing a lot of things you probably don't want to do. That's just how it works. You're a one-man show, but guess what? When you give this signal to the universe, hey, I'm going to pour most of my energy into the things that are really natural for me, the things that I love, the things that I know that I'm really skilled and gifted at, it is absolutely wild the people and the connections and the opportunities that the universe will make way for to help you and support you. And I think that is the number one piece of advice that I could give to aspiring entrepreneurs, because they can get so stuck in like, well, I'm going to have to do the marketing and the this and the that. Mm-hmm. Guess what? For a few months, maybe even a year, you will. But guess what? You're going to learn so much about yourself. And then that time is going to come where you're going to start to get help and support in ways that you don't naturally shine. And you are going to feel so good doing the things that you love to do. I've experienced it firsthand. And like, I'm so grateful that I've gone through my first year of business. It was rough. It was frustrating. It was tough. But it was the most fulfilling time of my life. Absolutely.
I'm on year three, so it doesn't necessarily get easier, but you're like, okay, like, here we go again, like another tough, or like, I think you and I had talked about this too, about like the concept of the lost phase, and how like you think once you've entered entrepreneurship and you've done the human design chart and like you have all these tools and things at your beck and call, and even the understanding of yourself, like you think that you're not going to be lost again. But that's not the case. Just because you move into business doesn't mean that you're ever going to escape that. Like it's a recurring cyclical thing. Especially, right. I love astrology. Like there are certain markers that will indicate when you're going to have a shift. Like your Saturn return is a major point in your life that you'll have a couple times that are like major midlife crisis sort of moments that kind of put you back on track. But is there anything that you can maybe, because again, I know you talk about confidence and clarity and you do some of that stuff in your coaching. When someone's dealing with like the lost phase or dealing with like just everyday volatility, right? Like things are crazy right now. We're in a recession. Like I would say a lot of us collectively are feeling good, but the world, the 3D world that we live in does not look that way. It's not reflective of that. So like how can someone manage or deal with that?
You first have to have a very open and honest conversation with yourself. Am I living as the victim or am I living as the victor? Like you really got to get honest with yourself and say, is the life that I'm living a life that I actually know that I'm creating and a life that I love? Because I have experienced this so many times where I'm in this rut. Oh my gosh, things aren't working out for me. Why aren't I experiencing love or success in my business? It all comes back to me. That's really what it's about. You dictate where your life is going based on what you are telling yourself. So the first step is have that open conversation with yourself. Do you want your life to change? Yes or no? That's the first thing. It's very easy. Mm-hmm. Yes or no? If you say no, you're not ready. And that's okay. But if you say yes, guess what? This is the fun time. This is the discovery phase where things and people and new opportunities just start to sporadically come in. It's very kismet. It's very synchronicity-like. And that's when the fun exploration phase starts. I actually have had a handful of close friends in my life come to me and say, you know, Rebecca, I never saw myself as an entrepreneur, but now I'm sitting here thinking, what? Am I just going to go from this job to the next job and that's it? And I'm like, you know for damn sure that ain't it. Okay? So guess what? This is the fun time where you get to open up your eyes, but really it all comes down to, do I like the life that I'm living right now? And if you don't, that's okay, because we can always change that. You have to be so certain that you are determined to live a life that you love. That's where it all starts.
Now, one of the things you had mentioned in the beginning was that you were trying to do, I guess, like manifestation as a tool to create, again, like the business, the relationship, the friendships, whatever it is. And I feel like nowadays it's become obviously mainstream. Like a lot of people talk about it. It's more approachable than it was back then. But you had, I think, talked about the concept of like modern manifestation and the difference between that of like, I don't know, someone who's just like, yeah, affirmations versus like an actual practice that actually works. Can you share a little bit on that?
The thing about manifestation is every single one of us is manifesting our reality, whether you know it or not. Subconsciously, consciously, you are, okay? And the difference between manifestation back in the day is you got to look at yourself every day in the mirror and say these affirmations and create the vision board. Here's the thing. We do still use a lot of those tools today, but knowing your human design, knowing your astrology, really trying things out, you get to create your own manifestation toolkit, basically. So I know in human design, I'm a non-specific manifester. I also know that I have my G-Center open. I am not the person who knows exactly what my life is going to look like in 3 months. I'm going to take this trip. I'm going to make this exact amount of money. I have to focus more so on the feelings that I'm trying to emulate and cultivate and bring into my life. So when it comes to manifestation work, so many spiritual teachers out there harp on the mental state. Like, you got to think it. You got to feel it. You got to visualize it, which I do agree with. That is the first step. But guess what you have to do afterwards? You got to fucking move. You got to act. You have to actually do something. Maybe it's not every day, but maybe it's every week. You are building up those tiny 1%, 2% habits that create the bigger picture. So it really is a mind, body, soul connection. Manifesting has, you know, there's just this connection between what your mind is telling you, the action that you're doing, what you're telling yourself, how certain you are and how you move. It's like we're combining so many different aspects.
Yeah. And I think that too, like I used to do similar things where I'm like, oh, I didn't do my morning affirmation in the mirror. Like I missed my meditation on the full moon. I'm not going to reap the rewards of like, or whatever the thing is. It's not stupid, but I used to harp on the fact of like, oh, but I didn't do this one thing, so it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
When realistically, like you're planting seeds all day, every day. And the other thing too that I found, again, being the manifesting generator that I am and kind of, again, being the emotional, whatever it is, like I don't know the terminology quite like you, but having certain design kind of pieces within my design is realizing actually, even though, yes, I do have to take action in small bites and do things to actually lead me toward my goal. Like if you want to write a book, you actually every single day have to write a little bit of said book.
Yeah.
But the other thing too that I've recognized as being, for me specifically as a manifesting generator, is actually I make more progress when I rest and I play, like actually go out with friends and like do things that make me excited and feel good and put me in that happy vibration, right? That higher frequency than me sitting around. Again, we talked before about like me having like, it's like having a zillion pots on the stove at the same time.
Yeah.
Like to have a full plate of things that are going on with, of course, like adding in rest as the body is required and needed. Like I then become a magnet more so than I would if I was sitting down and meditating like 8 hours a day and like being not so happy about it. Like a lot of it is what is actually creating joy for you in the process and the practices that you're doing.
Totally. I want to touch upon two things. The first thing is I can relate to you so much. I still am deconditioning myself from thinking, oh shit, it was a full moon and I didn't do a ritual and I didn't do a cord cutting ceremony. Oh damn it. None of my March goals are going to come true. Guess what, people? That stuff means jack shit. Okay. Like, please stop feeding into the algorithm of, well, you have to say these manifestations, you have to say these affirmations. If you don't feel like doing it, there's a reason why. You have to be connected to what you're doing. So I, as a manifesting generator, know that I pour my energy into what lights me up, where I am creative. Maybe 1 week I want to do Kundalini meditations. Maybe the next week I just want to stretch and kind of chant out loud. I let myself be that primal creative force that I was born to be. And that bleeds over into just like what you said about, I know that I'm the most lit up. You also know that you magnetize people to you based on how much you are in your joy, how much you are truly living that out. Because guess what, people? As an entrepreneur, for some of us, it's about the product. For other people like you and I, it's not so much about the product. It's more so about your energy.
Yeah.
People come to me, new clients, old clients, they're like, I just want to be around you. Guess what? I have not been studying human design for 10 plus years. I will be the first person to admit that. But I am getting opportunities that people have not gotten. And they've been studying this system for way longer than I have. It is about my confidence. It is about my energy. It is the way that I carry myself. And it's also me sharing my creativity and my joy with the world. That is why people come to you. And that's why people want to work with you.
Yeah. I have a girlfriend who's, she's really, it's almost like freaky how quickly it happens. She'd be like, oh, I really need someone to like help me with my website. But like, I don't really know. And like all this stuff. And like a week later, she'll meet like someone at like at the sauna at Kuya. And she's like, oh, this girl does web design. I really like her energy. Cool. I'm going to hire her. And I'm like, you do this every time. And every single business need that you have, literally down to like branding, to like a connection to a specific person, to like, it's wild. I mean, I have a lot of the same things too, but it's just, it's, I obviously don't see it because, like, we just happen to be more self-critical of ourselves, but I can see it within my friends who embody the same systems, and it's, like, it's super powerful. I'm like, damn, I wish I knew this when in my early 20s. Damn.
Right? That's the law of detachment for you right there, which I know. I believe, I 100% believe that that is the number one manifestation tool. Because the law of detachment,
oh, yeah. Yes.
Because
yes.
It's basically you saying to the universe, I really want this, but, like, I'm good. And I know that you're going to help me. I know that you're going to support me. When you let that go, it is wild how quickly those people come into your life to help you, to support you. So that is such a flex.
The detachment thing is so real, though, too, because I think the reason why a lot of us as entrepreneurs want to be entrepreneurs is for freedom and kind of, like, creating the reality we want through creative ways. So, right, when you think about corporate and traditional structures, you have to go by a certain system and wait certain, right, 2 years to get promoted and whatever else. And, like, there's not really that many back doors, side doors to go through. It could be who you know, whatever. But, like, as a business owner, like, the sky is the limit in terms of how you can find opportunities, like create opportunity, like, whatever it is. And so I do this all the time. Even, like, so I was trying to move back here. I lived here for a year, then was a nomad for a little bit, and then I wanted to move back this winter. And for, like, 3 months, I was, like, kept flying back here from New York and was looking for apartments. I was doing the traditional way of, right, finding the realtor and going on the site and taking a tour and all that stuff, and it just wasn't the right spot. And then, lo and behold, literally on Christmas Eve, I gave up, and I was like, all right, fine. Like, I'm surrendering to this experience. Mm-hmm. I know I'm going to be back, but I don't know how, and I don't really care how. But, like, these are some of the things I like for this place to look like, be like, where it's going to be, all that stuff, make it happen. And then on Christmas Eve, got an email from a previous Airbnb host who was like, hey, I have 2 months available. You were great. We do a reduced rate, which is even cheaper than what I would have paid for rent. Would you want to be here? I was, like, sold, and I packed up my car and drove within 4 days. Like, and I was back here. So, like, that would have never happened if I went through the traditional route versus, like, just attuning my energy to joy, which is, like, play and paint, whatever your version of joy is. For me, it's, like, more artistic expression. But
yeah,
I don't think I would have kind of gone down that. I would have white knuckled the shit out of a situation, much like I did in the beginning of my business, had I not understood the law of detachment, as well as just even my human design and the idea of, again, generating and creating energy and what to do with it.
Yeah, that's such a beautiful, perfect example. Life is so incredible and so expansive and so magnetic, and we can't even conceptualize how much the universe wants to work out for us. Like, it just is so crazy, and people just get so bogged down in this victim mentality of, well, life sucks and life's bitter and life is treating me so poorly and blah, blah, blah. You can change that at any given moment in time. You got to detach.
It's definitely hard, though.
It is,
like,
hard.
Especially
it takes work.
It's not easy. And especially in those darker moments, right? You have, like, the dark night of the souls, or, like, just a period. We all have rough periods in life where, like, the money's not coming in, like, you know, fighting with friends, like, I don't know, we've all had that, or even the in-between phase, right? So the in-between phase of, like, you're not quite what you were before, but you're not fully baked to be the person that you are supposed to be with the new friends and the new place and whatever else. So, like, how does one embody, let's say, like, sure, human design, manifestation, and the law of detachment, but still, like, I don't know, like, honor your humanness in battling your fears?
Yeah.
Like, how do you go through that when dealing with challenges?
100%, it's having these tools, like having them in your arsenal, whipping them out at any point in given time, because guess what? We are designed to forget who the fuck we are. We just are. And that's why I call it the gospel of human design. And I'm like, guys, you have to know your human design. You have to know your astrology, because when those dark nights of the soul come through and those in-between phases come through, and you know the saying, when it rains, it pours, which we all go through, you get to look back at your human design and say, there she is. There I am. This is how I'm meant to operate. It helps you so much navigate the chaos of life when things are so hard and you feel so defeated, to tap into, I'm going to go with what my gut is telling me to do. I'm going to follow my creative joy. I'm going to follow these natural skills that I've always had and for some reason never acted upon. And I'm just going to play and see what happens. Knowing that you have this information and that it's accessible to you helps you navigate through life, because life is not always easy, breezy, lemon squeezy, unicorns. Like, no, come on. Life is magical. Life is expansive, all the things. But also, life is effing hard. And when you are going after what you desire, when you are going after your joy, when you are going after, I am a creative fucking force and I'm here to live out my God-given purpose, guess what? You're going to battle some shit. So that's why you need this information.
Yeah. And I think also, like, I used to journal when I was younger, which is great, right? It was my form of, like, a Bible to, like, flip back on and look at data points. But the astrology and human design thing definitely, it gives you a pinpoint of, like, oh, okay, now this makes sense. Like,
yeah.
And you don't want to lean too much into it because then you get a little crazy of, like, everything is because, like, Mercury is in retrograde. And, like, there's a limit to these things, but it is nice in knowing, like, okay, there's a reason, there's a rhyme for this. It's for a purpose. It's for my greater purpose. But in understanding it makes the pain a little bit more, how would you say, like, you can digest it a little bit more when those manageable moments do come up. Yep.
For sure. Yep. I actually love that you mentioned that about going a little too deep into it, because I feel the exact same way.
Crazy. Oh, yeah. I've been there, girl, where I'm think I might be insane because this is way too, like, we need to reel it back in a teensy bit.
Yeah, totally. And that's actually why I prefer human design over astrology. Don't get me wrong. I love astrology. It was my first love, my first kind of segue into the world of self-discovery. But astrology is so goddamn complex. Again, you have your astrological chart and then the planets, the moon, the sun, everything is always shifting. Sometimes I would just rather not know. Like, for me, it's almost better to have that really solid foundation, which is my human design. Human design is way more tangible. It's way more palpable. It's way easier to digest than astrology, in my personal opinion. That is why I tell my clients who are interested in astrology, I say, hey, I can give you the basic information, but if you really want a deep dive, here's my astrologist. Go talk to him. I'm not going to pretend that I know everything about astrology, because I don't. And I also think I've experienced this on myself, being a Gemini moon. I seek out information, and sometimes it's way too much. I find myself going down the rabbit hole of, like, well, let me seek out these coaches and these mentors. The minute that I remember, actually, you know best, Rebecca, no one knows you like you know you, that's when I fall into my joy. That's when I feel the most fulfilled and lit up. So really, I tell all of my clients, shut out everyone else. Even me, take everything that I say with a grain of salt. I am here to empower you. I'm here to hold you accountable. I'm here to guide you and support you. But at the end of the day, I don't know you like you know you. The stars don't know you like you know you. Like, it is what it is.
Yeah, it could be a really dark, deep, scary road, honestly. At times, yeah. You're like, oh my God, like, this is happening. This is going to be tough. But it's, I'm also a Gemini, so I like, I got Gemini, so I get it. We're always seekers of information, and the caveat with that is that you're never fully baked, so you feel like you can never fully, like, be done. You know what I mean? Like, there's always more information to get, which means you can't fully be an expert or fully have a complete, I don't want to say thought, because that's not true, but whatever. There's a lot to be said about the astrological and even other modalities and finding out just what's going on in your life and stuff like that. That's maybe it written in the stars, so to speak. But this has been super, super great. As we wrap this up, one thing I always do with guests is I ask one final question, which is, if you could give advice to your younger self, what would that be?
This has changed so much over the past few years, but what I would tell my younger self today is, do not get so fixated on what the passion is at the moment. Like, I used to hyper fixate on, okay, I'm going to be the best world-class personal trainer. Okay, I'm going to be the best YouTuber. I'm going to be the best this, best that. Now I would tell my younger self, just play and allow yourself to take the pressure off. And just, like, I can easily fall into these perfectionism tendencies, and I'm leaning out of that as I decondition. And so I would just tell myself, just be playful and let yourself fully go for the things that are lighting you up, but let yourself move on. Because I used to stay around in passions and hobbies and jobs for way longer, and that's totally part of the manifesting generator complex, is not knowing, like, when enough is enough. I got my lesson, I got what I needed from it, and now I'm ready to move on. And back in the day, I just would hold so tightly onto each thing. And now I just have totally released the pressure.
Yeah, I'd rather be known as the flaky girl who's pivoting than be the person who's like holding on for dear life because I'm afraid. Like, I just, that's just the preference now.
Yeah, 100%. Call me the flaky girl all day. Really don't care. I'm following what feels right to me. And guess what? All of the dots will connect, I promise you.
Yep, I can attest to that as well. But this has been awesome. For people who are listening, you can find Rebecca's information in the show notes. But thank you so much for coming on. This was really, really great.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been so great. I love to share. Please do not hesitate to reach out to me.